As we all know, we have been doing something towards what hinders transformation. And this is our second last class around that subject of what gets in the way of transformation. And I'll do that today, and Sunday will be our last, and then we can turn the leaf and get to other subjects. Amen? Amen. I want to repeat what John Young said, that if you're a family group leader, brothers, you need to be organized. Those of you that have already done the... We have done the Bible, we've presented to two groups. If you belong, your family group of those two groups, organize your group to meet, to agree when you'll be meeting, and to agree which homes you'll be meeting, right?
Amen.
So it's good to step into those meetings now, get to know each other, just have a rapport going so that when we really gear up and start going forward, starting next midweek, we'll start doing some courses about how we all become a group. Does that make sense? And there's a lot that you want to encourage all the people to come so they can understand how that works and God's name is glorified eventually. Amen? Okay. Ephesians is where we are going this evening. We're going to start in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Are you there? We'll take it all the way to chapter 5 to 20. Chapter 5, verse 20. Anyway, let's take it bit by bit. Paul's been writing to the Ephesians church. He talks about unity. He talks about different things and how he prays for them to be aware of who God is and how God can transform them from inside. And so he is going that direction, and we get to hear in chapter 4 about just unity and maturity in the body of Christ. It's something that we all have to aspire to build. You follow that? It does not happen just because we sit together. We have to want to build it. And otherwise, it will not just happen because we sit in a church together and say, brother or sister. That doesn't function like that. It's an effort we have to make. And he talks to them about that. Then he gives them instructions of living, of Christian living. And chapter 4, and then that's where I want to start. He goes... I want to start in verse 30. It says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." That, we all, I presume that many of us are disciples. You know, if you're visiting, you can always find out how that happens. And whoever invited you can get you through that. But when you get baptized, when you repent and get baptized for forgiveness of sin, you get redeemed. You follow that?
Right.
You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, become a disciple, and you move forward, you're redeemed. Does that make sense?
Right.
At that moment, if we all discuss that moment, every one of us has a different feeling of how they felt when they came out of water. You felt inspired, ready to do something. You were filled by the Holy Ghost. It was different. So we come out of that place quite inspired. Some people, like for me, I came out of that place and I thought, God, it's a good time for you to come. I'm ready to go now. It just felt that way. In the purest form of it. And as you continue on that journey of being a disciple, we falter from time to time. Sin comes our way. We struggle with different things. We grieve in the Holy Spirit sometimes.
Right.
And during that journey that you're making, If you're not careful, you can really grieve the Holy Spirit to the point where you don't hear God. You don't hear God, you don't hear His Word, because you're grieving the Holy Spirit. But the first few minutes, most people are excited. It's amazing, because they're tuned in, they hear God, they hear the Word of God is inspiring to them. They're not fighting, they're not conflicted at all. It's a new beginning. You feel like, why did I wait for so long?
Right.
Why did I wait for so long? I wish I'd done this. You feel like it's really being born again. It is.
Yep.
You feel a new lease of living. And so it's there that I want to connect how at one point you're paying attention to the Word of God, you're paying attention to the Holy Spirit, and now we start to falter and go back to some of these things. But we're disciples still. We're repenting still. And as you're growing, you can get to a point where change becomes a little bit, requires way more than just a good feeling, but a real connection with God. You follow that?
Yeah.
So here in Ephesians chapter 4, 31, it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. It says, get rid of bitterness. This is what disciples.
Yes. Yeah.
This is what disciples.
Right.
And he says to them, get rid of bitterness. What is bitterness?
Resentment.
Where does it come from?
Past hurts.
Past hurts. What else?
Not getting your way.
Not getting your way.
Pride.
Okay. Here's the deal. We all have things we wanted that never happened.
That's true.
And you said, never mind. Really? Never mind. But it changed your countenance from that day.
Wow.
You stop being the outgoing, jolly guy to a guy that thinks a little bit, and you look like a dead walking man. You know what I mean? I have had those days when you look at my eyes and you wonder, is he there or is he not there? Stuff that gets to you. Maybe you got baptized like me at 21. You're full of vision and ideas. And then by 30, some things you wanted to have done in life, they didn't discover. And if you don't deal with that with God, it builds gradual bitterness. You're shocked with your answers. When that topic comes up, you get very defensive. You don't want to talk about it. You don't understand anything. You get very angry with stuff, animated. Your countenance around it is not the bitterness develops. And you look for people that agree with you, not with those that agree with the scriptures. You look for those that agree with you.
Yeah.
And you start funneling out scriptures in such a way that they only talk about what you feel, not what the scriptures say.
Right.
Wow.
And after a while, you have a theology around it to protect your heart from being vulnerable and being transformed.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That's what happens with bitterness. This is what Christians says, get rid of bitterness. Mm. I've struggled with bitterness before. I must have gone through it for like 4 years. Oh yeah, you think, or you may think the preacher never struggles with that. I do. Okay. How about you?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
So let's get authentic now.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We must come before the cross and understand how these things work.
Right.
If you don't deal with that stuff, it begins to kill you.
Yes.
Your spiritual strength dies. If you grieve the Holy Spirit, you can't hear God, you cannot evangelize, you can't talk to anyone about anything. You just keep to yourself and keep to the routine of life. You just keep to the routine of life to survive. You know, you don't want to connect beyond that, because if you do, you open yourself to too much risk. Get rid of bitterness. I don't know what it is for you, but if you take time and think through things, you need to put that to rest before God. And say, this is God's. I've dealt with that. I'm happy. And I can be joyful and move forward. Amen?
Amen.
Then he says, let me make sure I got it. Okay. Get rid of bitterness, rage, and anger. Brothers, we struggle with rage. We struggle with anger. I mean, how do you feel when a guy cuts you in traffic? You may not say with your mouth, but in your heart, you say things. Stop. If we put on the microphone, I'll be right. And then you read Matthew chapter 5, and how Jesus talks about that, how we must guard against it's not just about what we don't say, it's what we think and what we feel that grieves the Holy Spirit. Because we love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And that is why when we talk about a connection with God and a connection with people, it's an amazing place to be. Because then you can deal with stuff. You can deal with stuff that the devil throws your way. The stuff that life throws your way. Life just throws things at your way. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? It's not your fault, but things are going to come.
Yep.
You follow that?
Yep.
We got to learn to deal with that. It says anger and rage. Fathers, I got to talk to you. How are you raising your children? When you see rage, you gotta ask yourself, it's not what the child is doing. The child is only revealing what's inside.
Wow.
That's already, Mark chapter 7 talks about sin comes from within.
Yeah.
So whatever the child did, just reveal what was inside you.
Wow.
How women dress is not the issue, it's
What's inside me?
And that's what we got to understand. If we don't understand that, forever we point outside, and God is trying to transform inside.
Wow.
Forever we point to the problem that sparked the reality that was inside. It may be painful, but we got to start realizing that we give away the grace of change, the grace of overcoming when you point outside. That grace, you give it away when you keep blaming the world, blaming society, blaming people. They may have messed up, but give yourself the grace to overcome that issue.
Yes.
Turn to God. And that's what it says, get rid of rage. This is stuff that gets in the way of men.
Yeah.
Some of us, we are volcanoes. We rage, obviously. Our face change. Some of us are imploding inside.
Mm-hmm.
It is that stuff that you have to be careful about, the imploding. And the aid is not good.
Right.
That stuff you got to watch and see, how is that getting in the way of the gospel and the word of God, and how is that getting in the way of me being a Christian? You know, early on in my marriage, whenever we had a disagreement with my wife, I'd say, it's okay, but it's not okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I was only saying it's okay to end the argument.
Right.
I was saying, okay, let's just not have a good time. But over a period of time, I realized I was losing the flicker for my dear wife.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I said, this is not good. Where is it coming from? It's the stuff I don't deal with.
Right.
So, you know, we went for discipling, we did all that, we went even for counseling and all that. And I figured, oh, I got to talk about this stuff. So I started talking with my wife. She said, how can you say that? I said, well, I'm just telling you how I feel right now. I'm not blaming you, but we got to talk about this stuff.
Yeah.
Well, for a good 3 months was a bit of a spark of fireworks, but
sure.
We got to a better place.
Mm-hmm.
Because the scriptures became the guiding tool how God wanted us to live together.
Right.
Yeah.
Not my emotions, not my fears, and all the things that come with it. So he's talking to this person, you got to get rid of anger. So fathers, as you raise your children, as you work together, and even as single people, as campus people, watch out. Anger is huge with men.
Right.
It's huge because we're not even taught to speak. We don't talk about how we feel. But you read the Bible, Jesus Christ. You read the Bible, it says, can you not pray with me? He's asking people to be around him. We don't ask for help. I'm a man, they got to fight it out.
Mm-hmm.
Really? You need God to deal with this stuff, guys.
Right.
Amen.
Maybe that's why we die out of here. Because we just keep it all in. It killed us.
Mm-hmm.
We even talk it out. The point I'm trying to put across is that God wants us to deal with that. You got to figure that out as well. That stuff will struggle as well. And I think that when you talk about it and get help and study out, God helps you.
Amen. It's good.
Yeah. God helps you with that.
Amen.
It happened to me once, and I mean, the epiphany of my anger was, I turned around in the car, I was in Nairobi, and a lady, she said something to the effect that I almost hit her car, and I got up, I started talking to her, I said, what do you mean I almost hit your car? And she went off. And I went off. And it took my kids to say, Dad! That's when I said, if your 7-year-old can see you're out of order, you need the Holy Ghost right now. That's when I began to work on myself. I said, something is terribly wrong with me.
Mm.
And I prayed, I read the scriptures, I got to all books I could, and I just... And now I can tell when it's coming. Because you feel that your blood begins to boil, literally.
Yes.
You feel it. Oh, it's the time to walk away. Oh, it's time to pray now. Before you say anything that you should not do. Before I could not even help myself. I couldn't cut myself. But that's the power of going to God. It'll
Amen.
Change you.
Amen. It's good.
Well, we got to talk about it.
Yes.
We got to find that's one another relationship. That we got to go to God first. One another relationship to sort these things out.
Mm-hmm.
This destroys us as men. Rage, anger, brawling. It can go on and on. I mean, I've seen some crazy stuff on the streets already, just driving around.
Mm-hmm.
I see people talking to one another, I say, are we all right? Make sure no bullets are flying.
Yes.
I mean, the stuff they say to one another, I'm like, okay, let me be careful. If I need to duck, I need to duck. But that's going on.
Right.
Even though we don't say that as Christians, we feel these things. Right. It's important to get authentic and get help, to connect with God.
Yes.
Then you can start talking about God's word, sharing. Why? Because you're dealing with what's going on inside. Right. So he goes on and says, bitterness, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. What is malice?
Hatred.
What?
Hatred.
Ill feeling toward someone.
Malicious.
Vindictiveness.
Hidden intentions.
Hidden intentions.
Hatred. Have you ever thought about that word? Sometimes you say, I'm not going to say hello to him, he doesn't say hello to me. That's malicious, right? Mm-hmm. You go home and you ain't saying hello to your wife because geez, I've been out the whole day. Nobody's welcomed me in this house.
Wow.
Wow.
We can create all these things that are a way of living that you don't even think about. You're just malicious about it. You just do it. And yet you're supposed to be the light that touches people. You're supposed to reach out and reach souls. That is getting in the way of all that. So we got to understand how this is supposed to be transformative. That gets in the way of us changing because we have it as a lifestyle. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other. Be kind and compassionate.
See, growing up with, well, we were there. Two sisters, and by the time I really grew up, they were gone out of the house. So now, I was the smallest of brothers, you can imagine how that can be.
These are tough guys, man. Nobody's talking to you very nicely, they're ordering you around.
I can get in the way of life.
Then you get married, and you think, oh, I think I know how this works. And then God gives you two girls, and you realize, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And you say things to my, I said things to my girls, and they said, Dad, you're not being kind.
What are you talking about? I'm a minister.
That's magic.
Just gave me a reality check.
Yeah.
Wow. It's not about the title, it's about meeting at the back of us.
Yeah.
And it's about being learning to be kind.
Yeah.
What are the kind things you do at home?
Hmm. Are you kind to one another? Kind language. Choose your word in a kind way.
Amen.
Or do you say to get maximum annoyance? Think about that. We may say things that get the maximum reaction. Not the change, but maximum annoyance. I want to say it in such a way they hear me. Really, you're just saying it in a way that is vindictive.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You're not saying it in such a way that brings change.
Right.
If we did that, our life would be much better because we're so in kindness. We're going to get it.
Amen. Very good.
Amen.
Yeah.
Very good.
Be much better. As men, we got to learn to be kind. Not tough all the time. Tough is a philosophy from the world.
Yeah.
The Bible says be kind. I don't see where the Bible says be tough.
Right.
Beat him up. It says be kind. Humble yourself. It talks about those kind of qualities.
Right.
I think that takes a different level of kindness. A different level of toughness. To be kind, you have to be really tough. Because you choose to obey God,
right,
than to fit in society.
Right.
It's a higher calling. Forgive. I mean, what is forgiveness?
Grace and debt.
Grace and debt?
Yep.
Grace
letting
and
go.
What?
Letting go.
Letting go.
Wow.
Letting go. I was reading a research they did in Ireland after the Republic, as the Catholics and fight with the Protestants. And they did a research around that and why it was such a huge thing around it. There's a book on that. It's huge. But they define in that book basically, and they use the scriptures and all kind of psychology they try to look at. And they say it's canceling debt. It's canceling debt. Hey Scott, I owe you $5 billion, but you say we're good and we can come and I can come and eat in your house. How about that? That's canceling debt right there.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what Jesus did on the cross.
Yep.
Yeah. We owed him all kind of issues. We were in sin, and he got on the cross. Forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Cancel that.
Grace in
Amen.
Forgiveness. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yep.
So question. Are there fellows you've not forgiven?
Mm-hmm.
Fellows that really got on your nerve.
And he said, let us agree to disagree. What with that, buddy? That's not in the scriptures. What with that? You forgive, man. It's not in the Bible, that's a knowledge. Agree to disagree. I said, what's that?
What is that? Is that in the Bible? That's the philosophy you brought up right now. It's not in the Bible.
So you don't understand that stuff. That's the stuff. I'm not reconciling with God. I'm going to have all kind of philosophy. Like the one that says God helps those who help themselves. It's not in the Bible. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have that one here. And cleanliness is next to godliness.
Yeah.
Right. Where is that in the Bible?
It's not there. It's all philosophy you cook around and throw out there. It looks nice, though, but it's not the Bible. It's stuff we like to concoct to build our philosophy and work with it. And that is what gets in the way of just hearing God and say, what is God really saying on these issues?
So I ask you today, God cancel our debt. We got to cancel debt.
Amen.
When you understand that, you can reach out to people, to your neighbors, to other people. And you have an easier life moving forward. Here's something I want to say. If you don't forgive, you mortgage your future.
Wow.
Let me put it this way. If that thing happened 2003 and you never moved out, you're still at 2003, even though it's 2016 right now.
Yeah.
And I have been there. Yeah. I don't tell you there's one that is better than you. I just tell you there's one that's not good. And I said, whoa. I wasted the time. A brother came and told me, man, you're renting too much of your brain to the devil. And for a moment I said, how insensitive are you? And I thought, hold on, here's a point. Here's a point.
I'm holding on stuff for too long.
Yeah. I find a way of talking about that guy, one word. Hey, I'll do that guy, man, he was a bad guy. I'm baptizing you in your names now.
So, we have to understand how that works against us being transformed, the stuff we hold. What I'm talking about is God calls us to get rid of. Paul was telling the church to get rid of this stuff. If you don't do that stuff, it gets in the way of the gospel, gets in the way of our relationship with God. We cannot be effective ministers, royal priesthoods, if we have this stuff out in our body. We will not be able to preach the gospel effectively, touch people effectively, when that stuff is slain.
Yeah.
And those that are designing can see through it. They can look at it and say, you're a disturbed soul. But anyway, keep going to church. You may get help.
Wow.
Here we go.
Come on.
It says, passion to one another, forgive each other. Just as in Christ God forgave you. That is the standard. Just the way Christ forgave you and I, we got to forgive one another. So tonight I ask you that you start the journey of forgiveness. You may have some people to forgive. Your wife, your children, your great-grandfather, whoever this may be. Or the political system, maybe you have issues with that. You may need to let go and just trust God. Amen?
Amen.
It's about time you let God be God and let God work these things out as you're running. So the Bible says here in verse 1, chapter 5 of Ephesians, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus laid an example for you and I to walk in love.
Yeah. For God is in love. Have you ever thought about that? Now, when we talk love, we can get mixed up depending on the age you are. For the teenagers, I'm not talking about that girl you see and you feel butterflies in your stomach. I'm not talking about that. You go crazy. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. I'm talking about, the scriptures talk about that God is love. So if you read the whole gospel, the whole Bible, it's really a letter of love to us from God. It's good news. It's a love letter. You follow that?
Amen.
That's what it is.
That when you are walking in love, you're not afraid. And yet we can be so afraid. Perfect love drives our fear. Understand that?
Amen.
So why are you having fear? What's your fear? Have you understood God to that extent? Ephesians, it says, I pray that he may change you from inside. There's a part that talks about that.
Duncan talked about it in the whole 40 minutes. It was stacked there.
Those of you were here. And so, this is the example. Walk in his way of love, just as Christ loved. How did he do? Look at how he walked around, the people he talked to, how he touched different people, the sick people.
Everywhere he went, he was touching different people. Yes, he went to weddings as well. Before that, he was interacting with different kinds of people, tax collectors. He was touching different people, but just connecting with people. We have to understand, we have to have a lifestyle that allows us to connect with people like that. Does that make sense? And as men, we got to get there, and as we connect with them, and they see how real we are, they're looking, but they will want to see the example. Then they can start coming out to church with us. We can study the Bible with them. But that's not the motive. The motive is to connect with God.
Yeah.
The motive is to win people, then we quietly started worshiping them. Baptism. We must worship God.
Wow.
Yes.
That's good.
And that's our motive. We get to worship God.
That's right.
And have a good connection with God in one manner. That's a result of all that. If you read the books, you see that even Acts chapter 2 says that, yes, they were devoted to all these things, and then God was bringing people. We got up with an example that brings the light around.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
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 So that's important that we develop that conviction as we move forward. Mm-hmm. And God begins to develop that. So that's the example of Jesus Christ. Walk in Christ's ways, and you see that it works. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because of this I am proper for God's holy people.
Yes, right.
But among us there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity. Okay, let me talk about the subject that is we may all struggle at one point or another.
Yeah.
Impurity is growing as a business. In the 21st century.
Yes.
It's a business. Now, people make millions and billions out of it. It's not millions, billions.
The internet is where it drives the whole business up.
Yep.
And you and I are very susceptible to that. We gotta talk from time to time.
Right. Amen.
Just that's what I'll say about that. From time to time. Find that to talk. It's research will show you one guy had a workshop, had his site. Remember, this was in Florida. He had he had something going on. He had his business set in Florida, and there was a religious group meeting there. And when they were meeting there, the heat went so high. He was so happy that this company didn't meet here a lot, because then he made more money. You follow that? It's a challenge, but we all must pray and get in the depth of it. Does that make sense? It doesn't pay to be. Find a place, a safe place to talk. Find a place to get in the scriptures. Find a place to start building it. You can overcome, just like anything else can be overcome.
Right.
I don't want you to ever feel that you cannot overcome. It's everything. We can over. It's just like anything else we can overcome.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But we must be that resource for one another and help each other to overcome. It's not a shaming. Let's not get a shaming route. Let's get people to repentance route. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Let's not get to guilting root. Let's get to repenting root.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's where we got to go with that. That's why it's no hint of impurity, of sexual morality, or all kind of impurity or greed. Because of this, it's improper for God's holy people. Greed is dangerous because you can always feel discontented with life.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's possible. And being in the ministry is very interesting. I've been in countries where, I mean, you got that place, man. People, I mean, you walk around the streets, there are donkeys, sheep, and people are there. And right in the same street, somebody goes down with them, maybe the latest Mercedes Benz. And this guy is laughing and playing. So you wonder what makes somebody really content. Just so that you know, I have nothing against Mercedes Benz. It's a good car. So don't feel guilty. I ain't saying there's sin in having that make. I'm not saying. That's an illustration. So please, don't take that out of court. He has trouble with that car. No, it's okay. It's okay if you have one. I'm not. I'm just trying to put the point of what gets us discontented. That's what you have to understand. The most part is comparison to other things. But you have to understand that. I'm not saying it's wrong to have those things. Don't be discontented though.
That's what gets in the way of transforming. Does that make sense?
Right.
That's what gets in the way. Those things are not an issue, but if all you do is live your life to acquire, then you left Jesus at some point.
That's right.
I'm not saying it's wrong to have good stuff, guys. That's not what I'm saying. But if all you live for is to acquire.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
So I'm not saying it's wrong to acquire anything. Have it. But let Jesus be Lord of your life.
Amen.
Right. If you can get a private jet, amen. But let Jesus be the Lord of your life.
Amen.
If you can get the whole Georgia, amen. But let Jesus be the Lord of your life. That's all right? So my point here is, don't allow stuff to get in between you and God.
Yeah.
Whatever you have, never allow it to get between you and God. Does that make sense?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's why greed can get in the way of what God is trying to do in our lives. Because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. We live in a world when people say anything and everything. From the same mouth, they'll be cussing, and from the same mouth, they'll be trying to be praising God. They'll be saying silly stuff and end with, God bless you, and say, well, how did that happen? Well, as Christians, we got to watch what kind of jokes do we carry, what do we listen to, because it affects who we are long term. So these are the things that get in the way of it. And sometimes you may be sitting around people at work that really joke a lot. That pollutes you, guys. Think about that and start saying, I need to watch where I'm hanging around. What's going on here? Does that make sense?
Yes.
That is what we got to watch as we build going forward. This coarse joking doesn't happen. Nor should there be, where was I? Five. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater. You see how these things eventually come into idolatry? That these things we're talking about eventually become something that controls your life so much that you cannot do without them. They become that's what I was saying. Watch out about this. It becomes an idol.
Yes.
Today's idols are not statues that we put up, as stuff that we've inbuilt in our system,
right?
Our character, our attitudes. That's the idols we have today. That's what gets in the way of transformation, because you build an idol. It can be anything. It can be position. It can be money. It can be whatever it is that you like. Whatever that controls you, that can become an idol.
Right.
Something that you got to watch out. That doesn't get in the way of us just moving forward. Okay. So, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ? And I'm going to verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not partner with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Amen?
Amen.
Light consists of what? Goodness, righteousness, and truth. I mean, that's what light is all about. So, you got to look at that. Are you striving to be righteous? Are you hungry for righteousness?
Wow, it's good.
Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. Being righteous is a vital thing. It's a growth process. You have to fight for it. Are you fighting for that? What about truth? Scriptures. The world out there want to tell you that the truth is relative. Really?
Yes.
No. There's some absolute reality about God.
Yes.
We're not God, that's for sure. That's not relative. We may have a construct of God, but we are not God, that's for sure. When you understand that, you begin to realize that when God asks us to do certain things, we have to struggle with that. Those of us who have challenges with authority and work through that, and allow God to be God. And just let God work this one out. Amen?
Amen.
And when you understand that, it says, light consists of truth, righteousness. Man, if you think about that, it says, how often do I fight to be righteous? How often do I think, is this righteous? We think, is this right? That's easy. But we think, is this righteous? We don't question
right and wrong. That we quickly go, is it righteous? That's the standard we're called, it's higher than right.
Right.
Because right is about apportioning blame. No, this is about being righteous, being godly.
Yeah.
Now, how much do you know truth? Do you let the Bible really imbue you with truth? If you don't know something, you study it out. You want to know what God said. You want to know that. Get to know God's truth. Amen?
Yeah.
So, it's important. That's the light. It's all about us being in that position where it's in goodness as well. That's part of it. There's some goodness that we all need to have. Does that make sense? And find out what pleases the Lord. Find that out for yourself. Have nothing to do with these fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Now, sometimes there are things you know that are not right. But the Bible says, as brothers, be careful that we don't have relationships that can... Let me put it this way. You can have a relationship such that you don't help each other. You're just in cahoots.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yep, right. I don't help you, you don't help me, but we're in cahoots.
Mm.
You know, I know. Don't tell.
There you go.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah. We look at each other, we smile, we know what we're talking about. Yeah, we're good, we're good.
That's not being godly.
Right.
And you got to watch it out, especially when it starts happening with the opposite sex.
It's true.
You got to be careful because that can happen as well.
Yeah.
When you're looking at each other and they're looking at you and you know there's a chemistry flying but nobody's saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
So is anything happening? No, I ain't said anything. I'm not saying anything. Well, it's not what you said. It's what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to go beyond that. Let's learn to be much more authentic beyond the evidence that human eye can touch. Go towards what God can see. And there's some human eyes that can really see stuff. But you need to go beyond that. Does that make sense? That's the righteousness that God is calling us to. And if we talk through that stuff, we begin to transform and change is amazing. Change is amazing. But here's the deal. Don't feel sorry or bad about where you're sitting, but get the conviction of, I can change this. Because if you feel sorry, that's godless, that's worldly sorrow.
Right.
But if you say, okay, hold on, I may not be in a very good place, but with God I can overcome this.
Amen.
That's godly sorrow right there.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right.
What do I need to do? What needs to happen? That's different. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But when we go, oh, woe is me, can you imagine? How long have I been here? Oh, that doesn't help you. That doesn't help me. Because then I'm not coming to, okay, what are the tools that God has given me? What do I need to turn to? And how can I become, not just do? Become, not just do. It's not ticking list, I've confessed, I've done that. I'm not talking about that.
Mm.
You're changing, you're transforming, you're working on your heart, your mindset, your attitude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not guilt and shame. It's, here's what the grace of God does for me.
Amen.
That's different.
Yes.
Because what happens is that we feel shame, we feel guilt, we feel like, man, how can I even ever talk about that? What will people think about me? We just think, here's a beggar. He just fought. We know where we get the bread. Come on, buddy, let's show you how to get the bread. That's how it works out.
Yeah.
A beggar shows you where to go get the bread. That's how grace functions. Now, you still have to be convicted because the Holy Spirit convicts you. You need to be convicted about it.
Yes.
You follow that.
Mm-hmm.
And you still feel some, man, sting might get you. That's the Holy Spirit convicting you.
Right.
And hopefully it leads you to repentance. Does that make sense?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying that you say I should not feel guilt. You will feel it, but you need to make that work towards helping you change.
Amen. Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yes,
so that's where we got to go with that. And so find out, where was I? 10. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds, darkness, but rather expose them. 12. It is shameful to even mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything is exposed by the light because it becomes visible. And everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it said, wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.
Amen.
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 Brothers, I want to end here, and I say, you know, sometimes if you're not careful, you can fall asleep as a Christian.
Yeah.
It says, wake up, O sleeper.
Yeah.
I mean, you can really, and I don't know how many, have you ever seen a sleepwalking person?
Yeah.
Yeah, my brother used to have sleepwalking issues.
Yeah.
And when he came, he opened the door, walked out. I'm like, okay, hold on. He looked like he was fine.
Yeah,
true. He was asleep. Walked out into the streets, my father said, what? Next day, says, we asked him, you know, you walked out and we got you back. He says, what? He was arguing with us.
It's true. It's true.
You did wake up and walk out.
Wow.
You can walk as a Christian and be asleep. Not conscious of God's doing, conscious of what God is trying to carry you through. And what that happens is then, he says, you need to wake up, rise from the dead, and Christ shine on you. Mm-hmm. We can be dead Christians. We don't allow the gospel, the word of God to transform us. So we don't touch one another, we don't touch people around us, we don't touch society. It just becomes about us. We gotta be touching society as well. The neighbor. As we go into this family groups, let's first heal, be connected with God, with one another, but let's touch our communities as well.
Amen. Amen.
Let's make this happen as well for the community. Let's bring them in. Let's do the word of God.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's about worshiping God, not the figures. Don't go outside too much. Stick with God. But as you change, you will not be able to, you will not help us. Say, buddy, let's go to church. I can talk to you about that stuff. And when you're authentic, people see it and they want to come to that.
Amen.
I pray that this evening has been of help to you.
Yes.
Amen.
I hope it encourages you. I really pray that you see the grace of God as the way that we can do. If you go there, we will overcome. Don't be afraid. Perfect love, God's love. God bless you.
Amen. Amen.